Did you notice you couldn't make a phone call yesterday? There was a massive outage that hit right around lunchtime Wednesday, reportedly peaking with over 1.5 million complaints on down detector. Verizon engineers reportedly restored service late last night. They do want users to restart the devices while promising account credits. Other carriers like T-Mobile and AT&T confirmed their networks ran normally, but they did have issues only for connections to Verizon users. The company has since ruled out a cyber attack, but hasn't detailed the cause of this massive outage. Joining us back on the show is cybersecurity expert Dr. Vahid Beyzadan. And Vahid, did you get impacted by this yesterday? I didn't even realize it was a thing until I realized it was a thing, to be honest.
Well, ditto. I tried calling a few friends who are Verizon customers, and I couldn't reach anyone. Kind of felt like an apocalyptic setting. But it was a massive outage, and it was relatively for a relatively long period of time.
Right? So I have to be honest, yeah. I'm glad that you said it felt apocalyptic because it was funny. So I had no issue, which I'm going to ask you about this. I have Verizon. I had no issue. None. This is why I had no idea it was a thing. But my husband, who's also Verizon, was on SOS for about 8 or 9 hours. And honestly, I called him and it sort of did that thing. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. And I'm like, all right, maybe he switched his phone over. He's in a bad zone. I don't know. I don't think much of it. But then a couple hours go by and I try it again and it does the same thing. And I'm like, has he been held captive somewhere? Like, is something awful happening to this guy? So I call the office, which I don't think I've called my husband's office since he's worked there like 7, 8 years ago. And it was so kind of out of body experience, but it was fine. And he's like, yeah, I've been on SOS. I don't know. If you look at X, formerly known as Twitter, it looks like there's all these outages. There's maps showing everything. But man, this really impacted everyone and sort of gave that idea of, wow, what if our cell service just was gone all of a sudden? What do you sort of do? Like that panic, it's interesting, kind of set in for so many people.
Yeah. And the frustration is totally understandable. When a major carrier like Verizon goes down, it's not just phone calls. It's text messages, data, navigation, payments, work logins through multi-factor authentication, even emergency notifications. It sort of feels like the ground disappears under your feet.
Yes. And I got to be honest, I made my husband so mad because my immediate thought when he said, oh man, like I can't believe we have no service. What are we going to do? I'm like, well, let's remember this is a great example of why we need AM radio to stay around forever and ever and ever. And he's like, of course you would bring it back to AM radio and the significance. But it's kind of true, Vahid. I mean, sometimes we don't realize how much we rely on things like Wi-Fi or cell service. But then when it's gone in an instant, we almost lose track of or like lose sight of how you're supposed to, dare I say, survive. We've become so dependent of these devices that when it's gone, we almost don't know, how do you contact that person? How do we do this? I mean, I could feel it and you could see with the millions of complaints online, social media, everything, people were in a panic. Like we don't have a backup system in some regard.
Well, in many cases, we do have a backup system. It just needs a little bit of dusting off. We haven't been using those backups for quite a while or not as regularly.
What do you mean? What are our backup systems? You mean plug in phones to the wall?
Landlines?
I knew it.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I said. Have a landline. I get made fun of all the time, but you need a landline. Okay, cool. So we just got to go back to the basics.
Wi-Fi calling. Melissa, there's usually some form of internet connection that's not dependent on cellular networks. But believe it or not, human beings have been surviving without even internet for a few millennia.
Yes.
So even though it might seem like the end of the world, it's not necessarily that for a prolonged period of time. That said, there were a lot of people affected by this, not just in their personal lives, but professionally.
Yes.
Too. Uber drivers, for instance, or those who rely on cellular hotspots, data network hotspots for remote work, or I don't know, even sales, like ticket sales, which require text-based, short message service-based authentication, where they send you a code and you need to put that in into a form online to finalize the sale. A lot of systems were disrupted yesterday. A lot of customers were quite unhappy about their experiences. This was not a one-off. There have been multiple outages at similar scales, but maybe for a shorter length of time in recent years. This one went on for a very long time over a really, really wide geographical scope.
Yeah, it felt a little... So, you know, it's interesting, Vahid. I was thinking about you yesterday because I thought, okay, maybe this is kind of like the cloud flare. Remember we had that late last year in that outage? So I thought, okay, maybe it's like that. But I mean, first of all, how do you have an outage like the one we experienced with Verizon? But also, how did it not impact everyone? I thought that was really bizarre, too. Like I said, I had no idea there was an outage because there were some people I had no problem. I, like I said in my show earlier, I got on the phone with a couple of police chiefs. I got on the phone with major companies. Like I was talking to people and I'm a Verizon user and I had no idea. It was only when I called my husband, who is also a Verizon user, and he was in a strong Wi-Fi area. Like, it was bizarre to me that some calls made it and others just didn't.
Yeah, well, Verizon has not officially disclosed the cause of the outage yet. At a high level, and without speculating too much, outages like this usually fall into a few buckets. Most often it's a network or software issue, not someone tripping over a cable or something like that. These networks are largely software-defined now. And something like a routine update or configuration change can ripple outward very fast. Another possibility is a core network problem, like the systems that authenticate your phone, route traffic, or manage handoffs between towers may have experienced a fault. And sometimes there are automated systems that are designed to fix problems automatically on their own, but similar to the case of Cloudflare, these systems themselves can actually overcorrect and make things worse.
Mm.
Cellular networks are very complex. So when something goes wrong, it's very much like air traffic control. If there's a system glitch, the planes are fine, but everything stops in that region.
Because you need the support systems that make sure that the planes are running and that are tracking the plane, all that, the technologies to make sure they have a safe flight to and from, they're not working. So the actual plane, the physical plane is working. So like our cell phones were working, but again, the ability to call out or to text or to use your GPS, what have you, was not working.
Well, GPS is independent. GPS is just a receiver.
Mm.
But it's interesting. I learned this very recently as a communications engineer. It was a little bit of a surprise that I didn't know this. The SOS mode on our smartphones means that our cell phone can see other networks, but not the phone that we have a contract with. That's why we can only use it to make emergency calls, like a call to 911.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, I did notice that. That it immediately goes to that. And that's good that at least you have kind of that backup system. So in an emergency, you can at least still do that. But the basic use that you would probably use your phone for most just kind of went by the wayside. We're chatting with Dr. Vahid Behzadun, who's our cybersecurity expert. And Verizon has ruled out a cyber attack, which is good. This is why you've got to really check your sources, because I know that was a huge question on X was, is this coming from another country? Is this in response? Is something happening? That always is going to happen, though. I feel like that's always the first line of defense for people is, oh, my gosh, we're under attack. Verizon says no. However, we really don't have a detailed answer or explanation to the cause of that massive outage. And so we've got Vahid here kind of talking about this. Obviously, there are a couple things we can proactively do, Vahid. I don't know if you were joking before, but I do think it's good to note. Having a landline, having those backup systems in place are readily available to you. And I think it's a great example of of things that we can proactively do. There is certainly a concern, though, with having the cell network go down. People weren't sure if they were exposed to anything important in that time period. I don't know if that happens when you have an outage like that. And if so, are there things people should be doing to make sure they're not being exposed to dangerous people?
Well, there are things that are of concern during the outage and then especially after the outage. For instance, there's going to be inevitably a rise in scams targeting Verizon customers. Scammers love moments of confusion. We often see fake messages like Verizon outage compensation, click here to restore service, verify your account. If you see those, and if you see a link with those, don't click on it unless the number that's texting you or the email that's messaging you is known to you. Ideally, just go and log into your customer portal online and see if you can verify the authenticity of the message. But in general, besides having a landline, which is more of an informal recommendation from me, if you enable Wi-Fi calling, if your phone supports it, that can also help with keeping you connected. Make sure that you have your important contacts written down somewhere. What happens if you lose your phone? What happens if your phone stops working? What happens if you can't access your cloud-based contact book? Going the old school way, having a couple of numbers written down might be very helpful. But there's a silver lining. As you said, these outages don't go on for days, but outages like this remind us that convenience isn't the same as resilience.
Yes.
We built systems optimized for speed and efficiency, but not always for failure. And failure will happen again. Mm. So the real question isn't, will there be another outage? As you said, I think the real question is, are we ready?
For the next outage. So, yeah.
For the next one.
It's a good point. It's a great point. Well, Dr. Vahid Bezadon, for many, many reasons, that's why we can never lose you on the show, because we need you to kind of bring some clarity, peace of mind, certainly when we can't make a phone call and we can think about doing better next time. So, Vahid, thank you so much. Certainly, if you hear anything about what came of this outage, let me know. I mean, we could text about it, certainly, but that still remains a mystery. Which I find fascinating, you know, the cause of this outage and to impact so many people for such a long time. Certainly, if you hear anything, let me know. Okay.
Will do.
I appreciate
you. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Dr. Vahid Bezadon, again, our cybersecurity and artificial intelligence expert on the show, also a professor over at the University of New Haven, right here on WICC.